In the fifth parak of the Maimer Das Atzmeinu, from Avoldi Zechatzad Yivrocha,
we're up to page Kufnun Aleph, which says Rabbeinu HaGaon B'Sal Salantis Husi Agen Aleinu. This is one of the most famous sentences in Torah. It's one of the most famous sentences written by the hand of a person who understood the depths of the neshama. We've been talking about the Kayach Hamadama, Kayach Hadimian, imagination, for the past couple of weeks in the context of the whole maimer of knowing ourselves. Who are we? Who are we? What does it mean when we say that word, me, ani? What does it mean? Who are we? We have a lot to learn, a lot to go. In his Igeres Musa, Rabbi Sol Salanter writes the following. Look inside. Every word here is very precious. Again, as I've been saying the last few weeks, we're not learning yet the pnimius of the nefesh, al pichsidus, pnimius atayra. Not that there's a contradiction, it's just hashlama, to understand on a deeper level. First we have to do some very, very basic groundwork. Rabbeinu HaGaon may be sol salantes, chusei galane chayse b'gas amusim. Adam also b'muskalai b'chafshi b'dimyayna. An amazing couple of words. Adam also b'muskalai b'chafshi b'dimyayna. A man is restrained, is held back, is restrained. The word asur is like matrasum, someone who's imprisoned, who's restrained, who's held back. Ha'adam asur b'muskalai, a person is restrained and held back through his seichel, b'muskalai. V'chavshi b'dimyaynai. V'chavshi b'dimyaynai, and he becomes free through his imagination, through his dimyan. That sounds good, no? What sounds better here? What sounds better? Ha'adam, also a muskaloi, the seichel of a person, the intellect, the seichel, restrains, controls, and imprisons. Also a muskaloi, b'chafshi b'dimyayin. And he becomes free through his imagination. So if in America a vote was taken, this is the land of the free. Right? America is the land of the free. When we were kids, anything you wanted to do, you could do, and you would say, it's a free country. So it's a free country. So it sounds very good. Also b'muskalai, the mind, the intellect, restrains, holds back, and imprisons. V'chafshi b'dimyayna. But the dimyan, imagination, liberates and frees. Dimyayna mailichai shoyvev v'derech leiv v'tzaynai. The person's dimyan, his imagination, leads him wildly in the path of his heart's desires. That sounds like fun. Dimyanim alicha shayva bederach leiv ritzayne. Bal yaches meha osid havadai. And the dimyan only wants that the person should not fear his inescapable future. They're strong words and very poetic words. The dimyan liberates and frees you from the seichel. The seichel holds you back and restrains you. The seichel is very heavy. The mind, the intellect, is restraining and strong. And the dimyon frees you to go and to follow the desires of the heart and not to be afraid. Mi'osit avadai eis yifkred Hashem al kol mifalo. The last thing that the dimyon wants us to worry about, our dimyon, our imagination, the last thing to worry about is the inescapable future, when Hashem will ask each and every one of us to account for everything we did in our lives. Ubishvatim koshim, ubishvatim koshim yusar. The person will, God forbid, a person will be inflicted with shvatim koshim, with difficult punishments. By yelokeid zar biglolai, Shul says that don't make a mistake. The dimyon is so strong, the imagination is so strong, it can tell you that it's all right. Somebody else will go in your place. Could send somebody instead of you. Sometimes if you're with a gvir can go, the rest of us have to like go around the parking, you know, go to a parking spot for half hour. I went someplace once to, I had to go to the city to a big, big dinner. Somebody from the shul was being honored and I had to go to the city. So it was already late and we came to the place there. And they said, you have to look for a spot. And we're going to be late. You know, Manhattan. You have to find a spot. He says to me, Rabbi. I said, what? He said, don't worry about it. It's okay. So we go, I never had such a thing. We went right up to this fancy, fancy hotel. And he went over and had a word or two with the fellow, you know, not just a word, but the Loyle de Magdas Bosser Adam, you understand? So he gave him something. And that was it. And the car was waiting for us. He said, we're going to be out in a half hour. I'm going with the rabbi in here. And be in, out. Went and came out. And he said, sir, we're coming to Mount Shemichal. So I came. I said to my wife, so how did it go with this? I said, sometimes it's not bad to be a gavir. If you have, like for that Indian, there's nothing else. But for that Indian to get it, like, to get like a spot like that and to go in and out. I don't know what he gave the guy, but it made him so happy that you should have seen that fellow. And we came out, he was opening the door and waiting in the car. I always, whenever I go someplace, people are yelling and cursing, you know. This guy got smiles and he got the door open. So the dimyon says that somehow, in Olam Haba, also there's a way up is the shtup, you know. You could work it out. Maybe you'll send somebody in place of you. He says, Bal yelokei zar biglolai. No other person is going to suffer as a result of your mistakes. Nobody else. It's your inyan. Hu levado yisa pricheta. He alone will bear the consequences of his actions. Echad hu. Just him. Nobody else. We'll talk about that a little bit when we get, if you start tonight, the pnimius, that dimyon, the dimyon that leads us to blame all of our problems on other people. That's one of the biggest dimyonis. Not to say that there isn't such a thing, but one of the biggest, biggest dimyonis, delusions, is to blame all of one's problems on somebody else, on other people. So Bissell says, the dimyon can tell you such a thing. The dimyon can tell you that what? That maybe somebody else, or maybe somebody will bear the burden of your faults. He says, Echad hu, oisa ha'aveira v'hanenish. It's one person, the one who sinned and the one who's punished. Thus is this. Don't bother making cheshbonos about how many people you have on your list who are responsible for your downfall. Echad hu oisa ha'aveira v'hanenish. Morihi, it's bitter. Ba'yayma odam zeh holi v'asa. All that Dimmu wants is that a person should not accept responsibility to say, it's my fault, it's my problem, it's my sickness, and I have to bear the consequences of my sickness. So Mina Rabbeinu Bezeh, or Mina Rabbeinu Bezeh, as called his achmuyais, shadimin mamsi lama. Bissel Salanter is telling us all the different rationales that the Dimyan presents, all the different rationalizations of the Dimyan. You remember we talked about this last week, that when you walk in the room, it's like two people walk in. You and the person you think you are, right? The person that you have a Dimyan that you are. So Bissel's saying, all the his, which means all the excuses and ways out that the Dimyan is mamsi, that the Dimyan, that the imagination offers a person, shekiilu ein mishpat, kiilu, even though you say every single day ani mamim b'muna shleima, I believe b'muna shleima, you say every single day that there's schar v'oynes, there's reward and punishment. And Hashem is also Oyser Yasa. Hashem knows, he's Mashgiach, he's Mabit, he sees, he knows. But the Dimyan is so strong, imagination is so powerful, that a person can go on and on with his life, Shekeilu Ein Mishpat, as if there's no Mishpat, as if there's no judgment. V'im yesh mishpat, and if there is mishpat, ein ha'ein shem chamurim kol kach, that the punishments are not so bad. How bad could it be? I personally don't talk so much about these inyanim, you understand, and there's a reason why we don't talk so much in these days about these inyanim, but we have to understand the krach hadimyan. V'im afilu ha'ein esh chomo, Hu hachoite lo ye'onesh. And even if the punishment is as serious as I heard it is, as it says in some places I learned this far, but I'm not going to get punished. It's not my fault. It's society, it's my family, it's society. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault. It's not my fault. So lo ye onesh, who keilu acher nidoy b'mkaymah. The same way he went his entire life with the altar image of himself next to him all the time. Wherever he went, he had this person next to him, the person he imagines himself to be. So that person who he imagines himself to be is not somebody that's going to get punished, because he's a great guy. He's a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. My imaginary friend. My imaginary self is a tzaddik. My imaginary self has an explanation and an excuse for everything in life. So, the same way that a person walked in this world with his mascot, meaning with the imaginary, delusionary version of who he is, so he's going to come to Olam Haba, and in Olam Haba, the Baruch Shem is going to say, whatever language you speak, the Baruch Shem knows it, and the Baruch Shem will say, Come here. Okay. Bolakan. Bohena. Come here. So a person can say, look like, you know how you do that when you're in trouble? You. So for the first time in your life, someone's actually pointing to you, because your whole life it was never you. It was always this imaginary person next to you. So the Baruch Hashem says, you. And then you look next to you, and for the first time, since you're a little kid, there's nobody there. The make-believe person is gone. It's just you. The mushrooms come. And you feel so naked and frightened without your make-believe self. You don't know what to do, because you never answered and explained yourself. You never ever, as we're going to look, that's what Dimyan is, Lamaisa. You never ever entered into the depths of yourself. You created this alter image of yourself. And therefore, Rabbi Sel says, it could be such a dimion that what? Hu achaytei lo ya'anish. It's not going to be you that's punished. As if somebody else is going to be judged instead of you. You're going to bring somebody else. He's going to be judged. She's going to be judged. Someone else is going to be judged, not me. So you say, what happens if it's taken me? In other words, what happens if I have to, in the end, bear responsibility for my mistakes? But then the dimyon goes to the next level. This is all the work of the imagination. Every single one of us, to one degree or another, has used these excuses. The dimyon calms him down. It's not as bad as they say. In other words, look, it's kedai to have a good time here in this world, and whatever it is over there, it's kedai, you know, it can't be that terrible, and whatever it is for a certain amount of time, and I'm finished. I'll be positive. In the meantime, I enjoyed myself in this world. So the dimi now is saying that b'chal oifen yuchal lizbol es hatzar, you'll be able to be soivel the tzar. From the very first step that a person takes towards sin, the first attempt that you make to be fearful of sin, to be an erlich yid, ma'akem hadimyin es ha'machshava ha'yishav. Dimyon comes along and it twists and perverts the Seichel HaYosha. Seichel HaYosha, Seichel, Adam Osur B'muskolo, man's Seichel restrains him. Man's Seichel holds him back. Man's Seichel tells you to stop and to think in a rational, clear way of what the consequences are of what you're doing. Osur B'muskolo. But then the dimyon comes along to try to release you from the prison of the seichel. The seichel is telling you it's only you. You're going to have to answer for this. You're going to have to pay for this. You're going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamish yourself. Like Yosef HaTzadik's brothers, Oysel Yosef Bush, Oysel Yosef Klim, Klim of the Chazal say, when Yosef HaTzadik said, Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, that's when Yosef said who he was to his brothers, what's going to be when the Eibishter says to us, Ani Hashem. At 120, Ani Hashem, those two words, Ani Hashem. When Yosef said to the brothers, Ani Yosef, they had also on their madrega dimyonis. They had big cheshbonis of why they did that to Yosef at Tzadik. And it was also dimyonis, as he says in the Sfar. There's a dimyon. The dimyon was that Yosef HaTzadik is dangerous. The dimyon is Yosef HaTzadik wants to take over the malchus. The dimyon is that he's not a tzadik. He's this, he's this, he's that. And they're madrega, whatever that means. But it was dimyonis. The Torah says, Vayisnu Oisai, they hated him. They hated him because of his dreams. It was dimyonis, and the dimyonis, all the dimyonis came suddenly to a screeching stop. When he said those two words, Ani Yosef, Zehu, Hamischak Nigmar, the game is over. Ani Yosef. Chofetz Chaim used to say, and that was Yosef with his brothers. Could we even for a minute to imagine what it's like at 120 when the Baruch Shalom says, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. Those two words, Ani Hashem. So the dimyon fights with the seichel. The seichel says to think it through. The seichel says, What makes sense? What makes sense? Yesh din, there's a judgment. Yesh dayin, there's a judge. I'm responsible for my actions. I can't blame anybody else. It's so many years that I'm walking around with this phony, make-believe person, and I present it to the world like this and like that. You know how many times each and every one of us knows our own faults. But you wouldn't believe, and everybody would believe, you know this, how many times a person says, when there's lo aleinu, when there's difficulties, a husband and wife, that the first sentence that the spouse says is that the person that you see, Rebbe, the person that you see in shul, has no connection to my husband. Or vice versa. Or that the man says that the woman that you see, this choshev of choshev, she's not the slightest dimion comparison to the person that I'm married to. And that always is like, to me, it's like a shot in the stomach. I mean in a bad way, I don't mean like a shot of schnapps, I mean a bad shot. Because first of all, it's always a friend of mine, you know? It's always somebody that I respect. And when they're coming to talk about an Indian, it's always a very hard thing. But this, it came out, always begins this way. So I said, let's try to go back and try to fix that, and it's not that bad. She says, no. And then you get like, boom, boom, boom. You know, 25, 30, 35 years, misery, screaming, yelling, abuse. And I don't know, it's not the same person. It's like when you go, you know, it's not the same thing, you go to PTA. So I remember when I was a Rebbe in Yeshiva, I was teaching 12th grade for many years. So I had, how many times it happened? I had parents come. And my whole inyan by the PTA was to try to be malamas chus on kids. Because a lot of them had rough things at home. They had some rough situations at home. And I tried to make it better as much as I could. I used it as an opportunity. I didn't really care too much about grades. So I had these parents came. And the kid wasn't so pushy, but he was very big Baldei Cheretz, and I really loved him a lot. I love this kid. So I started to say, like, for 10 minutes of speech about how this kid is one of the nicest, sweetest boys. And then after I finished my whole soliloquy about this kid, they say, we're talking about, like, what, let's say the name is Plony Amoni. We're Plony Amoni's parents. I said, I'm talking about Plony Amoni. That's what I'm talking about. So they say, no, that's not our son. That's not our son. So I said, that's the boy that I see in the class. He said, well, that's not the boy that lives in the house. That's not the boy, they're two different people. This is one of the saddest things in the world. A wife knows, a husband knows, the Baruch Shalom knows. Children a lot of times are on to the parents. It's a hard sugi. So the dimyan says, the imagination says, that it's somebody else. It's not you. So you're living all the years with a certain impression of yourself that was built by the dimyan. Seichel doesn't want that. Seichel wants the truth. You know what the Rambam, I'm sure you all know, the Rambam, even though you didn't see it inside, and most people didn't see it in the Ma'ariv Bukhim itself, it's very hard. But the Rambam talks about what changed when they ate from the tree. Do you ever think about what it was like? Like, what happened? What happened when they ate from the tree, Adam and Chava? Like, what happened in their heads when they ate from the tree? So the Rambam says that before they ate from the tree, they looked at reality from the perspective of emes and sheker, truth and falsehood. Every single thing, whatever they saw, Adam and Chava, the question was always true or false. True or false? So, emes and sheker. There are only two things, emes, sheker. Zo. After the chet, after the sin, you have to think a lot about how deep this is, because I'm not going to go into this right now. We'll talk about it more in Mitzvah Shem, but for just hear the words. The Rambam says after the Chet, I'm sure many of you know this, after the Chet, then it was no longer Emes and Sheker. What was it, Rabbi Yisai? Toiv and Ra. Eitz Hadas, Toiv and Ra. Then it became a question of good and bad. That's already a judgment, right? That's a call. That's a call. Like it used to be before they had the replay. So you had a referee, you had an umpire, and he said something. He said the guy, the throw made it before the guy made it to first base. The throw was there, and that was it. He was finished, and everybody's screaming and yelling. He was safe. He's out. He's safe. He's out. Now it's a very bad thing because then they could just study the film. And then they tell the umpire, you know, you have so many times that you messed up. In the old days, you could say, I didn't miss. You're wrong. In other words, it used to be that whether the guy beat the ball to first base, it was Mr. Shaka. It was yes or no, true or false. Who got there first, the ball or the guy? I'm sure the girls know this basic amount of baseball, right? So, who got there first? So, it used to be Mr. Shaka. In other words, it was the other way. So it's the other way. So it used to be, it was a judgment call. In the old days, it was a judgment call, so people had, it was geschmack to argue and to yell and to fight. We did that as kids, because then we didn't have any, anyway, we didn't take any films, so we still do that, right? So you could fight and argue, and he's right, and no, I'm right, he's right. But now, it's the other way. But now, they have it on a picture, and they could tell the guys, listen, it's Emes. And what you said is a shaki. So the Rambam says, before Adam and Chava ate from the tree of imagination, before they ate from that tree, everything was either true or false. That's it. After, in other words, if it was something that the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted, it's true, it's false, and that's it. Yes? No. After Adam and Chava ate from the tree, ever since then, everything is not clear. I hold like this, you hold like that. Once it's not Emes and Sheker, and it's my call, it's a judgment call, then it's Dimyaynes. I want it to be, isn't it, it was always amazing as kids, how everybody in one team said the guy was safe, and everybody on the other team said the guy is out. Except there was like one tzaddik that everybody would beat up. That like one guy that says, no, he was really out! Like from your own team, right? He's out! And they said, be quiet, and they start throwing things out. But it was a pella, right? Everybody from that team held that the guy was safe. And everybody from the other team held that the guy was out. How could that be? How could they count such a thing? How could that be? They're all standing in the same oilum as looking at the same thing. The Teretz is, of course, that they want their guy to be safe, and the other team wants the guy to be out. Oy. So Yisrael says, Hot Mosav Muskol V'chofshi V'dim Yoinai. The videotape imprisons you in the question of true or false. You're stuck. Either you're safe or you're out. The videotape is the seichel in this case, right? It's the marshal of the seichel. Seichel is Emes and Sheker, the Yod HaNein. Yes or no? True, false. And then what's the dimyon? That's like on a test, you have true, false, and then you have essays. Oh, essays is an interesting thing. You know what I'm talking about? When the professor gives you an essay, there's an essay, there's a lois essay, and when the professor gives you an essay, then you know, like, then now it's a problem, because if the professor taka likes me, if the professor likes me, so then I could be matzliach. Now it's already a judgment call. It's a judgment call. If it's true or false, so if you say that, when did it happen? When was the Revolutionary War? The Revolutionary War was in 1975. So says, I'm sorry. It's false. No, that's not true. That's not true. But if they ask you, so what do you, like nowadays everything's like this. How do you feel about the way that people were treated during the Revolutionary War? Oh, now we're talking about how I feel. Everything now is like that. How do you feel about it? It's kind of Emes and Sheker. Dimyaynes. Now already I'm free. You understand? I'm free. This was like a Mechai. When you get tests like this, You know, if you know how to write. I wrote once, I was a good writer, I wrote once a paper that was, I'm telling you, my kids know, we laugh about it. I wrote a paper, 28 pages, was kuloi sheker. I got an A plus on it. I made up statistics. I did. Everybody else was in the library. I sat at my desk for an hour or two one night, and I had to this crazy course. This was in Colombia, and we had like a chosher professor wrote all these books on the Indian, and I had to write a paper on this Indian, on certain Indian. I made up everything. 1925, this happened in 1942, and this, and the statistics show like this. I wasn't. I made up names of books. There was no web thing to, you know, there was no way to. It was kuloi sheker from the, and everybody else was in the library for a month. And I went the night before, I sat down, and I wrote this Indian up, and it was statistics and things and precedents, all kinds of stuff. There wasn't one thing that was true. Even my name, I'm the super guy. I know I thought I wrote it. Other than that, there wasn't one thing that was true. And I got on that an A plus on the paper. And I had these guys in the class. There was always the Jews and the guy. It was a funny thing going on over there. So they're all like the guy, you know, they're in the library for the whole month working on these papers. And the couple even, like we spoke afterwards, you get an A, B, and A plus, A minus, A plus. And they're going, oh, I got a C minus. Oh, I got a B plus. I got a C minus. And not one of us did it honestly. There wasn't one. It was all sheker. So I said, how'd you write this up? So you think I'm crazy? I would go to the library for a month. I made it up. Oh, who else? You made it up. I made it up. It was kuloi sheker. With names of books and publishing companies and everything. My mother still has this. My mother typed it. She was always accomplice to the crime. Sheker v'chazuf. Because the Rambam says, you hear, the Rambam says that it was emes and sheker, and emes and sheker then became toiv and ra, good or bad. Good or bad? What do you think? How do you feel? What's your opinion? Once you enter into that murky, funny world of how do you feel, what's your opinion, which we know nowadays on the college campuses, this is more and more and more and more of this. How do you feel? What are your thoughts about? I told you that I was, at that time, that I was in Columbia, I said this many times, this is my sir. It was such a Musa Haskell to me. That time that I was in graduate school, and I was sitting there, I was, Baruch Hashem, I was able to finish two Masechtas and Tanya that semester, and in the back of the class. And I had to take, because if I didn't take, I had to take a class, it was on nutrition. Why? What's other from nutrition? I don't have any sciences to it. I had to have certain, you had to take certain classes, and if I would have not taken this, I would have to wait like 3 hours, like for the next hush of a class. So I said, all right, I'll take this, even though I wasn't interested. I'm not saying it's not a hush of a subject, but I wasn't interested in it, but okay. But I took it because it fit into the schedule. And I had to be back in yeshiva, but, you know, so I took that class. So the lady that was teaching herself was barely out of school, you understand? And she was saying the whole time, such narishkeit. I can't tell you, it was such narishkeit. Also, everything was, what do you, I didn't say a word, I was saying the whole time in the back, and I was Baruch Hashem able to learn. Because I know then you have, just on the test, you have to read certain books. But she's schmoozing. And what were they talking about the whole time? They're talking about why people are overweight. Why people are overweight. So, you know, I'm listening a little bit, like I'm hearing this going for 2-3 classes. They're talking about why people are overweight. And this is because of their parents, and this is because of the war, and this is because of... And they're schmoozing about this, and they're all like commiserating, and they're all like nodding their heads. Zachmanis. And I said, and I raised my hand, and they all were like so excited, because I never said anything, you know. And they see the, like the Jew in the back, the guy, you know, with the beard and pays. And I raised my hand. I just said, people are overweight because they eat too much. They eat too much. People have to stop eating so much. And I want to tell you something. This oilam in particular struck me from the first day, because maybe that's why they were taking nutrition. They were all the time opening up candy bars. All the time. This particular oilam, I noticed it from the first day, that they're always like the chocolate bars. All the time. And that most of the chevra they were taking above average in size, you know.
They were eating a lot.
And that's, I guess, they were interested in nutrition. Maybe they thought it would help them with this Indian. And they're all talking about, like, why is it that people are overweight? And I know my answer is very simplistic, because they, if you eat too much, you gain weight. But I just wanted to make this point. So I said, oh, people eat too much and they gain weight. So I just had to say that. So then they go, oh. They all looked at me and they go, well, that's interesting. The teacher said, well, what do you think about what Mr. Weinberg said about? What do you think? Let's discuss that. Let's discuss that. And then it went right there with, like, you know, psychological things and all kinds of stuff. And just stop eating so much. Because right after the class, everybody was again with the, even during class, everybody's eating chocolate bars in that class. There are wrappers on the floor next to everybody. It's demyainus. Demyainus. Emes and Sheker. Torah is a world of Emes and Sheker. Torah is a world of Emes and Sheker. When a Jew goes away from Torah and he gets into the world of good and bad. How I feel, what you feel. If you're a person who's a firm person now, someone will say to you, you've all had this, if you work someplace, and you say that I have to be at Shabbos, you tell the people, you know, Sabbath comes now at 4:19. So they'll say, yeah, but this is a very important project. You have to be here. So you say, I can't be here. I'll work extra. I'll come on Saturday night, but I can't stay. I have to be home. I have to be home by 4:19. We light candles. They're not massing that. It's okay, but just this one time, can't you work it out? This happens all the time. Can't you work it out? And this, even though we laugh at that, because we know that Shabbos is 4:19, it's 4:19. But let's check ourselves and see how that apikorsis creeps into our lives. Our opinion about halacha. How I feel about this din. Not Shabbos, well, Shabbos. 4:19 is 4:19, finished. But other things. How I want it to be a certain way, that I should be able to, let's say the alarm goes off in the house on Shabbos, I want it to be that I could turn off the alarm. That's my opinion. You think that God wants me to bother the neighbors? God, I know God. God doesn't want the neighbors to be upset by my alarm. I'm not talking about that halacha, but how it creeps into our lives. Emes sheker. My opinion, my feelings, how I feel about it. That's what Yisrael is saying. Oy ledimyai. Look what he says. Yeah, Rishon Lekrasi has chet b'ma'akim adimyus ha'machshava yeshor u'mata oyse b'derech levitzai. When you try to have a little bit seichel and to think in a straight way, emes sheker, right, wrong, crisp, clear. When you try to think that way, then the dim comes along, that's the Eitz HaDaas, Chevera. That's the snake. The dim comes along and he makes it crooked. Maybe not like this. And anyway, even if you do, it's not so bad. And if it's so bad, it's not so long that it's bad. And if it's not, and even if it's so long, then maybe it's somebody else that you could blame. Umat oise b'derech leiv ritzoinai. And the dimyan takes you away, flying off into that make-believe world that's called the heart's desire. The heart's desire. There's a gevaldig word last week. The Yesod HaAvoida, the old Slonim, the first Slonim. The Yesod HaAvoida talks about Esav selling the firstborn for a pot of beans, right? And what did he say? What's the svara? He ne'anoichi hoylach lamas. Lamas adi b'chayr. I'm gonna die. What do I need this for? Right, the firstborn. Now remember, the firstborn was a very, very big thing, and there were certain things titled a person to certain things. But much, much more than that, the Yesod HaAvoida says the following. The last thing in the world, Be'emes, that Esav wanted was the firstborn. Because it says in Torah, Vayivez Esav. When he had the opportunity, we had an excuse to get rid of it, he jumped at the opportunity. Why? What about the covet? What about the honor? The first opportunity he had. He had a ma'isa. He saw right away after. What he's crying and carrying on later on for the bracha. Why? So the old Slonim says, there's a mitzvah that's called Kedushas HaBachayr. It's not just a title or a position. There's a holiness that it imbues in the one who holds the title and position. It's not stam. There's a Kedusha that comes with it, with a title. And when you're a legitimate holder of that title, it imbues you with the holiness of the Bachayr. So the old Slonimus says, Esav didn't want that. What do I need that for? In other words, I want to be able to be free with my dimyon. I want to be free with my imagination. I don't want to be bound by the Kedushas HaBechoira, the burden of the firstborn. There are many, many Jews that they'd rather not be chosen people. What do I need it for? I'd like to be like anybody else. I don't need to be chosen. And the children that grow up and their parents tell them a million times, you're a Jew, you're a Jew, you're a Jew, you know, that means this, and this means that. Come on, I don't need it. What do I need that for? I just want to be, like Rabbi Sel says, Chavshi b'dinyaynai. I want to be free. My imagination frees me. My seichel imprisons me. So the old Sonoma says that Vayivez, Esav is a Bechorib. Esav didn't want the Bechorib because the Bechorib was the prison of guilt. It was the weight of that burden of seichel, of holiness, that inside of him was cooking and telling him, Esav, don't kill, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. I don't want it. Many times I mentioned in the shul what the father of modern psychoanalysis, he was a Yid. And what he said once about anti-Semitism, and I mentioned it many times, he explained, why is it that the Christians more than anybody else hate Jews? What do they have with us? Sofkosof. They know where it all started. I mean, anybody's a little bit cycle, so what do they have with us? So he said a brilliant thing. He said, they've never forgiven us for bringing Yoshka to the world. Yeah? They've never forgiven us. You know Yoshka is. It's the season. They're already hanging up all the things soon. Yoshka. They've never forgiven us for bringing Yoshka to the world. What does that mean? They love Yoshka. They worship Yoshka. They hang him up in every single hospital room and in the lobbies of the hotels. Wherever they could put a Yozla, they put him. So what do they have? So he said, no, they hate Jews because we brought Yoshka, because they know the Yoshka is a Yid. And that we brought him to the world, and they've never forgiven us for that. You understand that Eimek of what he said? No? It was much better to be a pagan. It was a Mechaya. To be a pagan? I don't feel guilty. I don't have to worry about anything. I do. My dimyon is unrestrained imagination. Ancient paganism, and even the Heidegger paganism is Mechaya. It's a world of dimyonis. It's only a world of judgment calls and opinions. Paganism is only opinions. Then all of a sudden, I got this guy hanging on the wall, looking at me and telling me, oh, thou shalt not steal, or whatever they think he's saying to them from God, whatever it might be. Turns out he's not saying so much hard stuff. But, what do I need that for? So the Jews are forever guilty for bringing consciousness, responsibility, answerability, accountability to their lives. And a happy pagan is no longer happy. Now when you sin, you have to go to church and confess, and it costs you money, and it's a whole problem, and it's bad. So they're stuck. Freud said that they're stuck in this horrible mitzvahs. On the one hand, they worship this guy. They worship him. On the other hand, there's never a greater curse that came into their lives than that person, and the ones who are guilty, not of killing Yoshka, that was they made up, not because we crucified him, it's because we gave birth to him.
that they don't forgive us, because we gave birth to him. It's a Goyne Shavar. Because we brought accountability into the life of the happy-go-lucky pagan, who was chofshi b'dimyoina, free as a bird. And all of a sudden, I have this formal, big religion. I got guys walking around in long outfits and telling me this and doing that. And I had certain sacraments and Holy Ghosts and all kinds of things and wafers and the whole. It was good until now.
Oil Adimion, let's just read the sentence, I'm going to have to leave. Oil Adimion, Oiv Haro Halozeh, Oi to the Dimion, imagination is our bitter enemy. But we're going to see that the problem is that Dimion is also our greatest friend, because with Dimion we can mamish become big tzaddik, we can become the Vim. Because without imagination, without being like little children in that way, to be stuck in a world also that's just Emes and Sheker, right, wrong, black and white, is not a life either. That's why it's so dangerous. Because the Dimion imagination is precious. It's creative. It's amazing. But when we don't use it properly, it's our worst enemy. It's within our reach. We have the ability to move it out of our lives. We need to lean over and press our ears against our brains. Emes, to use our seichel to come to the truth. Hadimyon nachal shoytev. What can we do? Dimyon, imagination is a surging river. Nachal shoytev is a surging river. Vaseichel yitpa, and our minds, our intellect, which knows what's right and wrong, is in danger of drowning. That's the danger of the Dimyon. The danger of the Dimyon is that the Dimyon is in this struggle with the seichel. And the Dimion is a surging, powerful river. And the Seichel is itself gentle and soft. The Seichel is soft-spoken. Imagination is a surging river. Like the Tanya explains, the Nefesh of Bahamas is a Bahamas, it's powerful, it's an animal. The Nefesh Helakis is able, is refined, and soft-spoken. And we have to contend with the surging river of Dimyonis that are going to drown a person. But the only way to win is by leaning over and listening to the seichel. To listen to the seichel. I beza Hashem. I'm sorry that I have to run right now. And we'll continue next month of Shabbos. There isn't a shir, but we'll do the following month of Shabbos. I'm not sure, maybe I'll talk just special about Chanuk, even all the ties into Chanuk also, obviously. But I'm not right now.